Alexandria 88.1.
Get ready. Don't touch that dial. Welcome to New Life Ministries broadcast. I'm Pastor Gregory Tenney of the Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust you will enjoy today's broadcast.
Welcome to G Smooth City, where you're a citizen, with your host, Pastor G Smooth Denny.
Hello to all of you on this day. But truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. I want to thank you for tuning in to this broadcast, and I want to thank you for your support. But truly, my brothers and sisters, we cannot make it without each other. And we should always try our best to support one another. And when we support one another, we show that godliness, that Christ-like in us when we give each other support. I want to also say to you that you should make sure that you are abiding by the CDC rules and guidelines. My brothers and sisters, it is very important that you social distance, you wear your mask, you sanitize, and you stay your distance, because it is very important in these trying days. This COVID-19 pandemic, it's out there, and it's running very rampant in our cities and in our neighborhoods, and we should always protect ourselves. We want to just pray. We also want to pray for those who are less fortunate. We want to pray for those who have been dealing with this COVID-19 and it has impacted their bodies and their lives, and we pray that God will deliver them from whatever he needs to deliver them from. For truly, God is a good God. And we should always know that he's a God that supplies our every need. I just want to speak with you today, just briefly, on the subject letting me out. We should always know, my brothers and sisters, we should always ask God to let us out. And if we look at the scripture there in Exodus 3, third chapter, 7th through 9th verse, it says, "The Lord says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard their crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." My brothers and sisters, I want to just talk just for a few moments on the subject of let me out. Let me out. And in this passage of scripture, there are three main points that are important in this message. Number one, the promise. God promised never to leave us and never to leave us alone. Secondly, the problem. We as a people refuse to serve God, and that's a problem. And thirdly, the provision. You got to know that he made a provision for all of us, because God provides. Now look, the children of Israel was in a situation that had a very serious problem. A problem that only God could handle. And sometimes we must come to the realization of knowing that some problems we just can't handle by ourselves. Some problems could have been avoided. Some problems we just asked for because of our disobedience. Here the children of Israel was in slavery, and they were treated badly by the Egyptians, and their cry to God was heard, and God understood their situation. The children of Israel wanted to be delivered from their slave masters, and God listened to their cry. How many of you know that God listens to your cry, their request, and he delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians? My brothers and sisters, I'm here as a leader to help, not to hurt, to love, not to hate. In our struggles together, we will come out together. I'm here to seek to God can save those who are struggling, save those who are down and bring them up, save those who are lost, to help them find their way to joy, peace, and happiness, find their way to life that will one day make them heirs to the kingdom of God, to the city of God. My brothers and sisters, I'm talking about a city where the streets are paved with gold. The gates are pearly. But look here. The people of God of God, and because of our disobedience that we've had, God allows things to happen. You got to know, my brothers and sisters, that God has given provision. God has given provision. The problem was that we were disobedient. But there's a provision. The provision is that God has given instructions to his people, his church. God has given his people provision. He has already prepared the way and has stored up everything that is needed in order to survive. All God is asking of you is to keep his covenant and obey his commandment. God also let us know what will happen if we don't obey his commandments. Read Deuteronomy 28:15-20, and it will let you know. My brothers and sisters, it says, I will curse your city, diseases, wipe you out slowly. I will curse your country. In other words, destroy all indices. I will curse your basket and bread bowls, contaminating your food supply. I will curse your children. I will curse your crops. I would even curse the young of your livestock. I will curse the lamb of your flock. I will curse your coming in and going out. You should always keep his commandments and obey his commandments. You ought to be crying out to God, asking him, let me out of this hellish marriage, this relationship. Let me out of this dishonest wage of employment. Let me out of bondage in my life. Let me out of poverty. Let me out of heartache and pain. Let me out of afflictions, trials and tribulations, confusion, messmaking, dishonesty, hard-heartedness. Just let me out of it. And my brothers and sisters, if you know anything about the children of Israel, you know they were in bondage there. They were in captivity, and the Egyptians treated them very badly. But they kept crying out to God. See, and that's what we should do in our everyday life. We should never stop crying out to God. We should always cry out to God for help. Always cry out to God to supply our needs. And when you cry out to God and you seriously mean what you're crying out for, God will answer your prayer. How many of you know that God will answer your prayer? And God is a God that don't just answer it. He supplies all of our needs. You ought to be saying, let me out. Whatever situation you're dealing with, my brothers and sisters, you ought to be saying, let me out. We deal with a lot of things in life. We deal with a lot of turmoil in life. You know, I was speaking with a young man, and the young man was telling me about a situation, and God blessed this young man. And you might know this young man. His name is JoJo Reed. And God, this young man had an encounter with someone who tried to rob him and take advantage of him, and he was shot 7 times, but yet he's still living. And then he has come to have to deal with the legal system that's trying to bombard him and trying to bring things upon him and make cases upon him that's not true. Well, I say to him, I say to you, JoJo Reed, hold on to God's unchanging hand. And look, when people seem as though they're profiling you and they're coming after you, and you're the victim, of a situation, God will take care of it. God never leaves you nor forsake you. And our legal system need to come out of bondage. See, our legal system, we find that it is in bondage at times, because what happens and transpires is that we do things that we shouldn't do in order to build cases on folk that don't deserve it. Yeah, I said it and I'll say it again. Our young men, our young black men are trying to do some positive things. Those who are trying to do positive things, it seems as though society, the legal system, want to hold them in bondage and profile on them and damage their lives. And let me tell you something, folks, when things come about and you're put in the paper and stuff for things that you did not do, it damages your character. It damages your reputation. It damages your lifestyle. And I challenge us, men of God, to come out and stand up for our people. Stand up for folk who are being taken advantage of. They're being held in captivity. We wonder why a lot of our young folk don't try to do more and try to be better people and try to move forward. It's simply because the system is fighting against them. My brothers and sisters, just as the Egyptians had the children of Israel in slavery, we find ourselves as young black men in captivity as well, in slavery, not so much physically, but we find ourselves in captivity financially and physically. But we just find they're doing it a different way. We ought to be encouraging our young folk. We ought to be trying to allow them to move forward. We ought to be pushing them, not trying to damage them. And it burns me up when I see what's happening, what's going on, and we're right back finding ourselves in captivity. You've just heard New Life Ministries of Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, 4800 Smith Avenue. Your love, gifts, and offerings are greatly appreciated. You can send all donations to 150 Browns Lane, Pineville, Louisiana, 71360. At Second Nazarene, we equip the saints, evangelize the sinner, and enhancing this society as one church ministering hope to four generations through the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next time. Thank you, and may God bless you.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
encounters with God, real life stories.
Welcome back this week. Thank you for joining us. I often hear God will not give you more than you can handle. I hear people tell that to people all the time. I couldn't even attempt to count how many times I've heard that in my life. But why are we telling people that? It's not true. Not even close to true. What they're telling people when they say that, they're basing that off of the scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. But we tell people this that are in trials and suffering, that God's not going to give you more than you can bear. Like, don't worry about it. God's not going to give you more than you can bear. It's not true. Like, it's just not true. You know, oftentimes, God will give you, allow the circumstances to reach the point where you can no longer do it in your own strength. And you have two choices. You either give up or you give it to God. That's your two choices. So many times in my life, I came to this road where I had those choices, you know, whether I was battling deep depression or just gotten arrested and got out. And I was like, man, something's got to give. Like, I lost everything in my life. Like, something's got to give. And when I was still selling drugs and doing all those things, in the last 4 months, while I was still selling drugs, I had $50,000 stolen from out of my house. $50,000. I don't think I would have came to that point, to that cross in the road, without that happening. I could no longer pay my bills. I was behind on everything. I could no longer pay for to buy the drugs I was selling. My business was failing. I couldn't pay the bills there. Couldn't feed my family. Somebody bought my kids' Christmas presents. I had to buy us a washing machine. I could no longer provide for my family. I reached that cross in the road, and I had to make a decision, like I had many times before. But the times before, I said before, I grew up in church, so I know who God is. I knew who God was. Even whenever I was doing all that, I believed in God, and I knew there was a God. I just didn't want to follow him. I was running away from him. But each time I came to that road, that cross in the road, I always knew this is when I need to go to God. And I did. Almost every time. Because I knew he could provide that healing. I knew he could provide that deliverance. I knew that he could provide that, whatever it was that I needed. But then as soon as it came, I was back out doing the same thing. There was no change in me. My heart wasn't in it. I was seeking the healing and not the healer. The deliverance and not the deliverer. I was seeking what he gave and not him. But the last time I came to that cross in the road, something was different. Something in me was different. I said, God, I don't want to live this way anymore. I don't want to keep running into these situations and not knowing beforehand that you're with me. And I don't want to have to keep coming back to you. I want you to be there with me. So when all that happened, I had that all that money stolen, all the things going on in my business. One night, I hit my knees in my bathroom on the edge of the tub. And I cried out to God, Lord, I need you. I need you. I can't do this anymore. I need you. I didn't want what he could give me. I just wanted him. All of him. Not for a little while, but forever. I wanted him. So, that scripture taken out of context, what are we doing when we tell people that? Let's think about that for a second. Like, what are we doing when we tell people God will not give you more than you can handle? Oh, when they're in that situation and it feels like the whole world is crashing down around them, if they don't know God, if they don't know him personally, if they don't know his voice, we're giving them this idea that God's not going to give you more than you can handle. So if it seems too much for them, they start questioning God. Are you even real? Like, where are you? But they're looking for that deliverance. They're looking for that healing. They're looking for that whatever it is. They're not looking for him. We're doing a great injustice to God by telling people that he said something he never said. Instead of telling people that God's not going to give you more than you can handle, we need to be telling them that God will often give you more than you can handle. You know, he will allow your circumstances to get to the point that you can no longer, in your own strength, deal with it. You can no longer deal with the sickness that's eating you up. You can no longer live with the financial problems you're having. You can no longer live without him. You can no longer live without God. And in that, you allow his power, his Holy Spirit, to come in and replace our weakness. In that addiction, I see it all the time. People in addiction, they get to a point and they give up, end up killing themselves or overdosing on purpose because they can't take it anymore. That was their weakness. Those drugs was their weakness. But it was mine too. And God came in and his Holy Spirit replaced my weakness. We have to stop taking scriptures completely out of context and telling people this is biblical truth. Like, we're a lazy and proud people. You know, we don't want to dig in and find out why something was said, who it was said to, what was going on in that time. Like, why did the author of that book feel the need to address that. Oftentimes, we're not going to come out with what we thought that scripture meant. You can't read the Bible like it's a book and expect to uncover the layers and layers upon layers of truth that is hidden. When you seek, you will find. When you seek it, not just read it, like, oh man, that means something right there. Like, Holy Spirit, I hear you telling me that that means something more than what my worldly eyes can see. You know, we have whole religions that are based off of verses, not chapters, verses of the Bible taken completely out of context. I don't understand it. I don't. And I've been part of those religions. And when things like that were talked about, I'm like, man, something's not right there. Like, something's not right. You know, we've got religions that take the verse about a head covering and say that means that men shouldn't wear hats and women shouldn't cut their hair. That's not at all what those verses are saying. Like, the Bible is a book of parables throughout the whole Bible. The authors used things that we would understand, not because that's what they were literally saying. Sometimes it is. But a lot of times, it's the meaning behind that. Like, what does that mean? Like, you have to look up what words mean and why they were saying them. Man started twisting and turning God's words to mean what they wanted them to mean. And if you do some church history, you realize that the reason for those things happening was to control the people that were in authority, the priests, the kings. They didn't want your everyday person to know the power of the Holy Spirit, the power that lived in them, the power that God wanted them to use. It was a gift. God gave it to us to use. People were killed. There were whole eras of in our history of the church where people were killed for believing what the Bible said by people that were teaching the Bible. To me, that sounds a whole lot like demonic influence trying to keep the truth of God from spreading. So my challenge to you this week is to look at look at what you believe. Is it biblical? Are there things that you've questioned? And listen to somebody tell you this is what that means without opening up your Bible and looking up words in Hebrew and the Greek, looking at the meaning of those words, looking at the context of the entire chapter.